Most of those who followed our Lord had all kinds of personal ideas about who he was. And only one of our Lord's disciples got the answer right, because it wasn't merely his opinion, but what had been revealed to him by God. The people, when our Lord asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" had many answers. None of them were right, but they were their opinions and probably held with a certain amount of vehemence and attachment. John the Baptizer, Elijah, are still one of the other prophets. And he asked the disciples, his immediate apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And 11 of them did not answer, because apparently either they had no opinion or they didn't have confidence in the opinion that they had, weren't willing to say it in front of our Lord. Peter, on the other hand, spoke up, not because his opinion was any better than theirs or because he had any greater confidence in his own powers or his own insight, but as our Lord said himself, doesn't record it here in Mark's Gospel, but in Matthew's Gospel, our Lord tells Peter that "No man revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father revealed it to you." And so when Peter responded to our Lord, it wasn't an expression of his opinion or him asserting his own ideas before our Lord. It was Peter responding to grace and to inspiration, to the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was compelled to speak because it was the truth. And it was a truth that he had to submit to. And it was a truth that he didn't easily submit to. Maybe theoretically he accepted who our Lord was because it had been revealed to him. But the practical consequences of having accepted this truth about our Lord, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," had not yet sunk in. Because if it had sunk in, Peter wouldn't have, and just a few minutes later, have told our Lord not to go to Jerusalem. Our Lord immediately corrected it and said just the exact opposite of what he had said a few moments before that in regard to St. Peter's profession of faith. After St. Peter remonstrated with our Lord said, "You are not thinking as God, but as man does." Because he was exercising his own opinion again. He was trying to think his way out of the cross. And the cross is not something to be thought it's our way out of. The cross is something to be accepted and carried with generosity and with love. That's the difference between just having faith and living our faith. It's the difference between having an informed opinion about many things and having faith in the one thing that ultimately matters, the source of our salvation. And so all of us are like Peter, and stand generally somewhere in between that theoretical profession of faith and the practical application of that faith and the difficulties that come our way. And generally speaking, those things where we fail most often are the things that are beyond our control or which ought to be beyond our control. We reject the cross. We choose contrary to the will of God, we choose sin, when in fact what we ought to be doing is accepting the will of God as it is the Son of the living God. And the next moment, when it meant that he was going to have to watch our Lord go to Jerusalem and be killed and die, that was too much. It wasn't simply a theoretical assent. It was a practical consequence. And it's those practical consequences of our faith, of the promises that we have made in baptism, in marriage, or religious life. You know, the God taking us at our word. I mean, if Peter really understood what he said when he professed his faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," then when our Lord turned around and said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise after 3 days," there should have been no question. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So whatever you say is the truth. And whatever you say must be the best. It must be the most perfect. It must be what will lead me ultimately to your glory. And it ultimately will be the best for everyone. And that's where, you know, the translation of an act of faith in the truth to the practical application in our lives, that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where it is difficult. And that's where what we can expect. We can expect there to be that challenge in the choices that we have to make. That willingness to submit to things that are beyond our control. The willingness to realize that it's God's power, not merely my calculation and my maneuvering things the way I think they ought to go, that is ultimately going to win the day. It's going to be our caring of the cross. It's going to be our willingness to pour ourselves out as our Lord poured himself out, as our Lord continues to pour himself out in the Eucharist, on our altars, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where our Lord is still vulnerable, where our Lord still is subject to our adoration or our whims or our sinfulness. Our Lord continues to pour himself out for us and place himself, you might say, in jeopardy. It's up to us to serve him as he truly deserves. And we're in that state of jeopardy every time we are challenged to overcome our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and our lack of faith, our practical lack of faith, which keeps us running from the cross, running from our duty, running from the life of obedience, running from the embrace of the Lord, who wants us to be completely free of our sins and selfishness, but who asks us to put out into the deep, like he told St. Peter, and to accept the mystery of the cross in our lives. So as we celebrate this holy sacrifice of the Mass, let us pray that we see beyond merely the liturgical forms and signs and understand the meaning of those signs, which is what our Lord preached to Peter and which he found so difficult to accept. Somehow we must enter into these mysteries, not only in a theoretical way, but in a practical way, by truly carrying our cross and lifting that up to the Lord in union with his sacrifice on the cross and in union with these sacred mysteries.